So, if any of you know me really well, you know that usually I'm really, really well prepared. I bring my old big Bible and my notebook. Guess what God had me bring today? Just this. I sat this morning before Him and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to bring? And He gave me some thoughts, but He wasn't letting me write anything down. So, we're going to get what God wants today. Janiah just spoke about Jesus giving His life for every single one of us. And when He died on that cross, it is because He wants relationship with every single one of us. That's what it's about. It's about relationship. Show them Jesus. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus, and Jesus is all about others, laying our lives down for others. There are many, many self-help books in this world, both Christian and secular. The only one you need is this. God's living word will help you become the person He wants you to be. It will help you with your relationships with your husband, your children, your coworkers, anyone, even the drunk on the street or the guy that's standing on the corner wanting food. It will help you with it. But what are you doing with it? Is it on a shelf? Is it collecting dust? Or do you open it infrequently? Or are you getting into it every single day? When I first was saved back, 18 years ago, I was hungry. And one of the songs that they sang today was about being hungry. I'm not really good when I listen to the music because I don't hear it very well. But I think it was, "Hungry, I come to you." Is that what the wording was? We have to be hungry for Jesus to receive Him. You have to be thirsty. Is your life dry? Have you experienced a dry life, a struggle, a wilderness in your life? When you're that thirsty, He's waiting there for you. But you have to make the choice. He's not going to force you. He's not going to put you in a headlock and tell you and go like this, "Come on, you got to come to me." He is waiting for you to make that decision. Now we go along in life. I know when I was first a Christian, I was hungry and I was getting up in the morning with them and, you know, okay, reading my Bible, getting up before the kids, taking my shower, spending time with Him, and life was really good. But then what happens? Life comes in and we say, "Oh, I didn't have time today." Okay, well, maybe when I go to sleep. You sit down to read your Bible. Before you go to bed, what happens? You fall asleep. You get up the next morning. Oh, something else came in. The kids got up too early, or, you know, you had to get to that appointment. You didn't have time. And what happens is eventually days go by and weeks go by, and all of a sudden your life is in the tank and you don't know why. And it's because you did not remain in the Word. This is the living Word of God. Because it's living, it will give you life. It will give you life. We're going to look at Psalms 27 through 31. That's what I have marked up. And we'll see how far God takes it. I don't know. Psalm 27. Maybe they would like an English Bible. We have English ones here that maybe the younger ones would like that. The younger ones might, the young adults might want English. Yeah. Janiah, can you get her an English Bible? We're starting with verse 20, or we're going to start Psalm 27, verse 1. Before we start reading, what are the three goals of Burning Bush? To know God, to know Him personally, intimately. So that means you have to be saved. You have to claim Him as your Savior. He has to be controlling your life. So that's the first one. You have to know God. Second, what's the second one? Living in victory, hanging out with Jesus. Hanging out with someone in your relationships in your life as you go through your day-to-day walk, just whatever you're doing, those people in your life that you trust. How did you build that trust? You built that trust by hanging out with them, by getting to know them. And that's what will happen if you hang out with Jesus every day, every minute, every second. You will build that trust and you will know that He is for you. Everything that comes into your life is for your good. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, but it is. So know Him personally, intimately, claim Him as your Lord and Savior, and let Him control your life. Two, hang out with Him. To live victoriously every day, you need to hang out with Him. And what's the third? Show Jesus. Love other people to Jesus. If you aren't walking with God every single day, letting Jesus live through you, then the love that you are showing people is shallow, is selfish, and is ugly. And will people want to really come to Jesus if they see that? No, they won't. But we can't get His love if we're not spending time with Him. Do any of you ever leave church and say, man, what did they talk about? Man, I didn't get that. I didn't understand it. You don't have to raise your hands, but just answer this in your head. Do you ever walk away going, I didn't like that, or what are they talking about? They don't know anything. I don't believe that. The reason people do not receive what is taught out of this word is because they are not open. First of all, you have to be saved to understand this.
Yep.
If you're not saved, you're not going to get it. It'll be just another book. Once you are saved, once Jesus is controlling your life, then, like the song said, you have to be totally surrendered. You need to walk through those doors before you even get to down the street. You need to be preparing yourself to receive. One of the things we like to do, well, Carson likes to do on the way here is listen to Odyssey. And today I told him, no, we're going to pray. We're going to pray on the way that we receive what God wants us to have today. And that's what we need to be doing, is preparing ourselves. When you're going out, when you were first courting your spouse or you're going out on a date, don't you get prepared? Don't you get ready for that date to see that person? That's what we need to do when we're coming to church. We need to get ready to hear God's word. And once you walk through those doors, leave the attitudes at the door. Bind them. Whatever you do, you need to bind those spirits, break agreement with them, those attitudes, and not let them come into God's house. Don't bring anything in here, and do not bring attitudes in you when you come in here. If you have them, if you feel that they're with you, find a trusted minister, and I think one of these days we should get those minister badges so you can see who are the ministers here who can help you break agreement with those, because as long as those spirits are in you and hanging on to you like, oh, they're just got you, you won't get it. You won't get what God has for you. And you really, really need to get what God has for you. Because life is not worth living if you don't have it.
Right.
So we don't receive what God has because either we're not saved or we're not open. We're not ready to listen and we're not submissive to what God says. And we're not submissive to those authorities that God has placed in our lives. I know the newcomers in Burning Bush don't really know this, but when I first came to Burning Bush, I couldn't stand Harvey at all. I couldn't. I mean, it bordered on hate. I could not stand him. I hated it when he opened his mouth. I would sit there in the back of the church. We weren't here, we were in the building, and I'd just sit there like this, thinking, what is he talking about? I was totally, totally closed. Do you think I'm going to get anything from God if I'm sitting in the church like this? No, I'm not going to. And why didn't I get anything from him? He is the anointed man of God for this ministry. Why didn't I get anything? Because I wasn't open to hearing what he had to say. I thought I knew better. I thought I was fine. I had been deeply, deeply hurt. I wasn't ready to let anybody in. I was just kind of like this. And nobody was going to get in. And I couldn't stand him. And it took me... Be a little bit more descriptive. Do you like me now? Yeah. No, everybody get in line. Let's get real open and vulnerable. It wasn't Harvey that I couldn't stand. It was the God that was coming through him that was convicting me of what was inside of me. And until I broke agreement with those things, I was never going to receive what God had for me. And it took, I've been in Michigan now for almost 10 years, and it took seven years for me to get to the point where I was ready to surrender everything to Jesus and let him minister to me through Harvey Hampton. Even though he's abrasive, even though he's offensive at times, his heart is for you. His heart is full of love for each one of us. And because I know that, I can overlook some of the abrasiveness. Harvey and Sue are my spiritual accountability people. And when they are ministering to me, he brings the hard words. Sue's nice and soft and wants to encourage me. Harvey says the hard things. And it's not that he comes out and he says them harshly, but he says what has to be said. And his love, he's kind about it, but he says it. And when he says it, sometimes I get angry at him. Sometimes I don't like what he says, and I think he's wrong. Sometimes I think, oh gosh, yep, that's right. He hit the nail on the head. The times when I'm angry, what I do with that is I take it back with me. I take it with me and I start talking to God. Okay, God, is it me? Does that really apply to me? Is that really me? Or is it him? And guess who it usually is? It's usually me. It's usually a word that I needed to hear and that I needed to accept was part of me. And when I allow God to reveal that to me and I accept that and I claim onto that, I can break agreement with it and I can move one step further in the path he has for me. And that goes for every single person in this room. So right now, before I go into this word, I want everyone to close your eyes. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you're not going to hear what I have to say, what God has to say through his word today. If you haven't accepted him. And if you have, if you're not living right with him, if you're not walking with him right now as closely as you should be, then you need to repent and you need to ask forgiveness, or you're not going to hear what he has to say to you today. So take a few minutes, talk to God, and ask him to help you receive what he has for you today.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I think part of the song also said, falling on my knees, which is a sign of humbleness. To receive anything out of God's word, we have to do that. We have to fall on our knees. We have to be humble. We have to be open. And then we have to offer ourselves to let God speak to us. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We don't have to be afraid because Jesus is our light and He is our salvation and He is our strength. It's an is thing. It's not a was. It is an is. Now. Current. Anytime we call on Him. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat me up, to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Why? Because Jesus is my light, Jesus is my salvation, and Jesus is the strength of my life.
There you go.
Though an host, a big group, should encamp, surround against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Why? Because Jesus is our light, Jesus is our salvation, and Jesus is the strength of our life. Verse 2 and verse 3 are promises that you can hold on to when things are hard, when things are rough. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. It will be firm. Have you ever seen a pavilion? When I picture myself when I'm really, really in a hard situation that Jesus is surrounding me. My son-in-law is in Afghanistan right now, and one of the things that I picture for him and the men he is serving with, is that when they go out on a mission, or even when they're in camp, because they can be attacked in camp, that God's hands are around him and those men, and He follows them. He goes with them like this every day.
Yes.
And there was a moment when he was supposed to call my daughter, and he didn't call. And she was very concerned. She was very concerned. And at that moment, when she told me he was to call, he didn't call, she was concerned. That moment I said, okay, God, surround him with your arms and go with him where you are going. This says he's going to put us in a pavilion. And I look at that. Here's his hands. And look at this. A pavilion is like this. It's kind of got like a barrier to protect us. And if we're in his hands, mine are not large enough to do this, but picture God's big hands holding us and surrounding us to protect us. That is His promise to us when that host encamps us, when they are around us, when we feel as if we cannot stand at all.
Right.
He shall set us upon the rock. We can be strong. Have you ever stood on sand or gone to the beach and when you're kind of walking, you're just kind of wobbly? But when you're on a rock and you're walking on rocks, you're firm and you can feel that God will do that for us.
Right.
That is a picture. He is that rock. He gives us that firmness in our life. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. That means don't look at our enemies. Don't look at what's going on. Don't look at things. Look up. Lift our head. Keep it looking up. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. One of the things that my 7-year-old and I have been doing these last couple of months is we're using the rapid transit bus system to go places. And sometimes when it drops us off, we have to walk a mile or more to get to our destination. Well, Think about walking a mile. It's a long ways, especially if you're not in really good shape. Especially if you're 7 years old and you're not used to being out and running. And a couple weeks ago, he was saying to me, he was looking at this hill and he's, oh, I'm tired. I can't do it. I don't. Falling down on the sidewalk. And I said, okay, this is like our walk with Jesus. Okay? I said, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to do what Jesus asks us to do because it's hard. But Jesus says, focus on Him. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep looking up. Don't look down. Keep looking up and keep putting one step in front of the other. And He will deliver you. He will get you where you're going. And so now when we're out walking and He starts to get a little whiny about that, I say, okay, we need to start praising the Lord. And we start praising Him. And we say, thank you, God, for our feet. Thank you for our legs. Thank you for that we can walk this way and we can get strong. Thank you that you're building endurance. And you would be amazed the energy that fills our body and we get that mile like that. It is unbelievable. We walked a little over a mile yesterday, and before we knew it, he turned around and he said, look how far we've come, Mom. And it did not seem like it took us that long. And a mile is a mile. You know, it doesn't change. But it was our attitude about that. We were praising him. And he will get us through that. And so when you are in those hard times, when you are struggling financially or in your relationships or with your children, or whatever, in an illness, keep praising Him.
Yes.
Keep praising Him. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When He speaks to us, He will say, do this. Then we have a choice. Do we do it? Do we say yes? David said, you told me to seek your face. Okay, I'm going to seek your face. Do we do that? Or do we say, well, I don't think that was God. Nah, that wasn't God. No. Because it doesn't feel good. No, that wasn't him. No, that was somebody else. Mm-mm. No. No. When God says to do it, do it. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I love that.
Yes.
When people turn against you, when people hurt you, when illness comes into your life and destroys your physical being, God will take you up.
Yes.
He will be there with you.
Yes.
He will soothe that hurt. And he has been proving that to me over this year. And last year he told me this would be my year of learning how to love in the face of adversity. And I'll tell you, there have been several relationships over this last year where I have felt like I have been kicked in the gut. Totally kicked in the gut. Like someone has died. That kind of deep sorrow inside of me. And what I had a choice. When every single hurt came, I had a choice. And sometimes I would get angry and I would get hurt and I would withdraw from those people. And then sometimes I would say, okay, God, that really, really hurts. And I would confide in a trusted friend and say, it really, really hurts. And they would say, I know. And they would hug me and make me feel better. But God has a purpose in this, they would tell me. And He did. He did. It was teaching me how to love, because there's going to come a time where even people who are going to hurt me, beat me, torture me, I have to be loving towards them.
Yes.
Because how are they going to see Jesus?
Yes.
And I've often thought, I remember reading about a martyr. I believe it was Bonhoeffer, but I'm not 100% sure. But I read about a guy who was going to be martyred, and he was in a cell, and he was like, God, how am I? They were being burned at the stake, so I don't think it was Bonhoeffer, because I believe he was hung. This guy said, God, how am I going to withstand this? Look at the fire. It's going to burn my flesh. I can't do it. I'm going to cave. I'm just not going to do it. And he would sit in his cell and he'd take his candle and he'd go, ah, he couldn't do it. That little teeny flame hurt him and he thought he didn't have it. But God promises. He says right here, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake
you.
I'll give you what you need. And that guy held on to that, even though that little flame was hurting his finger when he would put it in. And he got to that place. They strapped him up. They put whatever they needed on him to set him on fire. They set him on fire. And he sang to God. And the presence of God was on him. And every person that was watching saw Jesus. And he was able to do it. And I remember reading that and thinking, oh my goodness, God, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. But I know that this last year of my life, he has been teaching me, yes, you have to learn how to do that. Because I might ask that of you someday. He hasn't told me that. He hasn't said, yes, you are, like some people he's told. But I think he's preparing me in case of that moment. And we all have to be ready for that. And we have to do that through this. We're not going to get there if we're not hanging out with Jesus.
Right.
It's not just about living victoriously every day and going, woohoo, we're having a good time today. No, it's about training you to be end-time ministers for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because the world today is changing. The Antichrist is coming. And if you watch the news, if you watch the political scene, it is happening now.
Right.
Things are moving into place for us to come into under a one world government, one world system. And if we're not ready, we will fall. And that's what this is about. And that's what Burning Bush is about as well. Because every person in here has the ability to reach thousands.
Yes.
Thousands. And God does not want to see anyone perish.
Right.
He does not want to see anyone
right.
perish. Something he revealed to me, because I know if in your walk with people, and you have you ever heard people say, yeah, but God's love. God is love. And, you know, he loves me. So I can kind of do what I want, kind of what Janiah was saying. Yes, God loves every single one of us. And nothing can separate us from his love.
Right.
But we can be separated from his blessings.
Yes.
And if your life is hard, you need to ask yourself, okay, am I having a hard time because I am not under his submission? Am I not experiencing blessings because I'm not doing what God wants me to do? Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it's because he's training and he's trying to get something out of you. But you got to go to him and you got to ask him. And there are even blessings in the hard things. It's hard to see that sometimes when you're facing that stuff, but there are blessings. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. God's way is plain. If there's any confusion, if there's any difficulty, if there's any kind of like, I don't know what to go, that's not God. It says right here, God's path is plain.
Yes.
Jesus is light. Not dark. Jesus is light.
Yes.
The path will be plain. It will be clear. If you are looking at it through your Jesus glasses,
yes.
not your own. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I'm sure we've all felt that, people rising up against us and being cruel. Verse 13, I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See that? I had fainted unless I believed. Okay. In order to not give in order to not fall down, in order to not be defeated, you have to believe to see the goodness of God. Even if it feels bad, you have to trust that it's for your good. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I love that phrase, be of good courage. It reminds me of Joshua because he's one of my favorite people in the Bible, because he is the one who obeyed. He was one of the spies. He obeyed God. He attacked Jericho. He did it the way God said, and they were victorious. But What did he have to do? He had to wait. And God said, be bold. Be courageous. Because I've got it. And that's what he says for each one of us. Be bold and be courageous. Because I've got it. And the Bible is full of people. Noah, who built the boat, he had to be bold and courageous because people were calling him crazy. Abraham, he had to be bold and be courageous because God said, I'm going to give you a kid. And here he is 100 years old and he doesn't have a kid. He had to be bold and courageous. He had to hold on to that. Joseph, he was a slave. He was imprisoned. But God was going to do good things. He had to be bold and courageous and hold on to that. And no, he had those dreams where his brothers were going to fall down before him. He had to trust that. He had to hold on to that. There's Joshua, Gideon, Daniel. The Old Testament and the New Testament are full of people who had to hold on and wait for what God had for them. Psalm 28, verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. There again, it's the rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. We cannot get what God has if we're not reading the Word. You know what it feels like to be in the pit? Have you ever had things going on in your life where you're in the pit? You just feel like you're being just dragged, like behind horses. Just in order to be pulled out of that pit, you've got to get living with Jesus every single day. Verse 2, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but have mischief. But mischief is in their heart. How many times have you come up against someone who speaks peace to you, yet there's something in your spirit that just isn't right? On the outside, they look good. And you think, wow, they look good, they sound good, they seem nice, but there's something inside of me that just doesn't feel good. That's because they have mischief in their heart. And you need to listen to that. And if you think you're off, talk to a trusted advisor. Talk to someone who is more mature than you in walking with the Lord and get their take on it and see what God is wanting you to do. Verse 4, give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. I like that. Have you ever heard, you've heard the term just desserts? Everybody's going to get their just desserts. That's what that verse means, I think. Everyone's going to get their just desserts. Verse 5, why? Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. We can't say we love God and we're living for God and we live in sin. We can't do that. Or he is not going to build us up. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications. He heard. That reminded me of what Sue talked about last week in Daniel, where Daniel prayed. The minute he prayed, it was in heaven, and God was immediately answering, even though Daniel didn't see what was happening. And that is true of us. And that's what that verse reminded me of. See, it says, blessed be the Lord. Why? Because he has heard. Right. He has heard.
Yes.
So when you're praying, whatever you're speaking, he's hearing you. So you can trust that your prayers are being heard. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He is our strength. He is our shield, our protector. We can trust. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Those verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7 are promises you can hold on to. His strength, his shield, he will help you. And when he helps you, rejoice. Be joyful. Share it. Let people know how God has helped you in the mire of where you are. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Right there it says he is the saving strength of his anointed. If you're not his anointed, you're not going to get his saving strength.
Correct.
Verse 9, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. You won't get that either. You won't get the saving. He won't save you out of what? Where you are. He won't bless you, feed you, or lift you up. He will. Those are promises that he gives to his anointed. You have to have Jesus living in you to get the promises of this book. Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord God and strength. Funny. Well, let me just ask the Lord what he wants me to do. So. Okay. I think even though God did give me everything through 31, I think we're just going to go through Psalm 29 because I think this is important. I think that's what God's telling me, and then we'll ask God what he wants to do after that. See where he wants us to go. So give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We can only worship him in the beauty of holiness, and God is holy. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. What that brought to mind is, have you ever heard the ocean, or I think the Lake Michigan is really, when the waves are crashing, it's like really loud and powerful. And then have you heard a stream and how it just kind of trickles and soft? And I thought of that, and I thought, wow, it says that God's voice is on the water, so he's in that. He's the powerful at times, and he's whispering at times. It's that soothing time, and sometimes he's, okay, this is what you need to hear. And sometimes he's, oh, this is what you need to hear. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Just his voice, like toothpicks, he can break cedars, and cedars are pretty strong trees. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. When I read that, and I read about his voice and how strong his voice is, this is his voice. So when you hear the ocean, this is his voice. When you hear the stream, this is his voice. What he's showing me as I'm walking after getting off the bus, he is showing me even in street signs, he exists. God is in every single thing. I was watching a friend's children the other day, and we were watching Christian TV, and one of the things it was talking about for the kids is God is in everything, and God made me and he loves me. And I think that's what he wants us to go through our days knowing that he loves each one of us and that he is always there with you in every single thing around you. And I think he wants us to be sensitive to that. So as you're going this next week out through your day, ask God to show you in those little things that you come across every day. Where are you in this, God? What are you doing today?